Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors is now in session, and we have the flag salute. Elizabeth, would you lead us, please?
Yes. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please, Wendy.
Alrighty. Okay, Supervisor Valenzuela.
Here.
Supervisor Ha.
Right.
Supervisor Harris.
Here.
Supervisor Cobstaff.
Here.
And Supervisor Ogrin.
I'm here.
Thank you.
We are having a special training workshop this morning at 8:30, and we will roll our regular meeting at 9 o'clock. So with that, we're going to have presentations from the public.
I've received no cards for this meeting.
Okay. We'll move on to departmental requests. County Council, we're going to work on a workshop for the Brown Act Basics and Social Media and Public Engagement Best Practices Training.
Good morning, Natalie Reed, County Council. Do we have the slides that can be used?
I believe so.
Is it the same one that Allie did?
No. It's the one that has the thumb drive.
Oh, this one?
Yeah. I'll distribute the hard copy of that.
And Natalie, I'll leave one for the clerk at some point.
Yes, we have ones up here for the public.
Okay.
I'll hand one of those.
And if you could, maybe pull the mic a little bit closer.
Okay.
Thank you.
And if I need to, I can go over there. Good morning. This is a Brown Act Basics training that is being provided at the request of Chair Ogrin this morning. And I'll be going over some of the main provisions of the Brown Act. Becoming conversant in the Brown Act is an ongoing process, and it's something that you'll do throughout your career as a public official. This brief introduction is just a starting point, and for our more seasoned members, a reminder, I'm here to assist you and happy to research issues when Brown Act questions arise and to provide additional trainings in the year ahead. So slide two. The philosophy behind the Brown Act is that government bodies are elected by the people, and maximizing public access while they conduct the people's business allows the public to monitor and evaluate these bodies and to retain control of the instruments that they have created. Essentially, you do your business in a glass house in the public's interest. Next slide. So what is the Brown Act about? At the basic level, it's about ensuring transparency, public access to local government meetings, and it covers topics like agenda requirements, public participation, and permissible closed sessions. It requires that you post your meeting agendas, that you hold your meetings in accessible locations, so no holding meetings in places that require the public to pay to enter or that are inaccessible to disabled persons or that prohibit admittance based on age, race, religion, or other protected statuses. It allows the public to address you at your meetings. It requires that you conduct public votes. It requires that the documents you are considering be made available to the public at the same time a majority of you receive them, unless exempt from the Public Records Act. What is the Brown Act not about? The Brown Act is generally silent on the board's internal operations. It does not address things like parliamentary procedure or election of board officers, how you keep your board minutes. These are the type of questions that the board can address through their own bylaws. Next slide. Who does the Brown Act apply to? It applies to legislative bodies of any local agency. So that would include county boards of supervisors, city council, special district boards, and the commissions and committees those legislative bodies create. It also applies to supervisors-elect, Who does the Brown Act not apply to? The Brown Act applies only to multi-member bodies, and it does not apply, for example, to a single hearing officer making decisions or a single department head making decisions. The Brown Act does not apply to advisory committees that are created, not created by the board. So an advisory committee created by a single county officer is not subject to the Brown Act because it would exist solely to advise the single county officer. Next slide. What is a meeting for purposes of the Brown Act? A meeting is any gathering of a majority of the board members to discuss or transact business within the board's subject matter jurisdiction. So if you came to tell me that three of you were going to grab coffee one morning for a bit of fellowship and to talk about a pressing county issue, I would tell you, no, don't do that. That type of gathering is a meeting subject to the public notice and meeting requirements of the Brown Act. And no vote or action is required for that gathering to be a meeting. Just bouncing ideas around with three board members is enough to make it a meeting for purposes of the Act. Next slide. The Brown Act also expressly prohibits serial meetings. A serial meeting is a series of communication, each of which involves less than a quorum, but when added all together, involves the majority of the board. A serial meeting most commonly happens in two ways. The first is the email or text chain. In this scenario, Supervisor A sends a text message to Supervisor B about agenda item number 2. Later, Member B sends an email to Supervisor C about the same issue. That is a prohibited serial meeting under the Brown Act. The second type of serial meeting is the hub and spoke. This scenario involves if Supervisor A calls Supervisor B to discuss agenda item 3. Next, Supervisor A later calls Supervisor C to get her thoughts on the same agenda item. Again, this is a prohibited serial meeting. And although outside the scope of a Brown Act training, just a note that in 2017, the California Supreme Court ruled that emails and text messages that are received or sent on personal electronic devices that relate in some substantive way to the conduct of the people's business qualifies as a public record under the California Public Record Act. So social media has become ubiquitous in society, connecting our communities, and the Brown Act was updated to address that. The Brown Act's restrictions apply to, and in some cases are more restrictive for interactions on social media, including platforms such as Facebook, Instagram, X, Reddit, TikTok. While normally a single contact between one board member and another would not constitute a prohibited serial meeting, the Brown Act social media prohibitions prohibit a member of a legislative body from, I'll read it directly, responding directly to any communication on an internet-based social media platform regarding a matter that is within the subject matter jurisdiction of the legislative body that is made, posted, or shared by any other member of the legislative body. Social media commenting includes retweeting, liking, disliking, or responding with a positive or negative emoji. So for example, if Supervisor A likes a social media post of Supervisor B, that could violate the Brown Act depending on the nature of the post and whether it applies to something within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board. So the bottom line for social media is that care should be used, and I do recommend against you interacting with each other on social media platforms. Next slide. So what is not a meeting under the Brown Act, or what are the exceptions to meeting? Individual contacts that you have with your constituents or with staff members are not a meeting, so long as they are not acting as an intermediary. written communications from staff to a majority of the board regarding matters within the board's jurisdiction if staff is not communicating the positions of other board members. Also, the act allows the majority of the board to attend conferences that are open to the public, meetings of other local agencies, so a city of Waurika board or council meeting, purely social or ceremonial events, perhaps if a judge retires or you're all at the same wedding. The caveat to the above is that this is provided that a majority of the board members do not discuss business at these events within the subject matter jurisdiction of the legislative body. So just as a general matter, if a quorum finds themselves at one of these events, I do recommend that you divide yourself up, never sit more than two together. Next slide. So closed sessions are a narrow exception to the open meeting rule. They are permitted only where specifically available by statute. So on items like litigation, real estate negotiations, labor negotiations. And the standard is not whether the subject matter is sensitive or embarrassing or controversial. When you are in closed session, it's important to discuss and stay within the parameters of the item that you're there for. What happens in closed session stays in closed session. Only the board as a whole can waive confidentiality. So some of the basis for closed session is listed on the slide, the ones that are most often used. There are other more obscure ones in the code. Describing closed sessions on the agenda in accordance with the Brown Act safe harbor provisions is a good way and a simple way to protect the county from challenges of non-compliance with notice requirements, and that is something that my office observes. Next slide. There are three types of meetings: regular meetings, special meetings, and emergency meetings. Regular meetings are those that occur on a day and time that is usually set forth in an ordinance or a resolution. Special meetings are any meetings that aren't regular meetings. And emergency meetings are meetings that are called on very short notice to address something that severely impairs public health or safety, or other more obscure things that don't usually arise, like work stoppages. Next slide. So there are different agenda posting requirements for meetings depending on the type being held. Regular meetings require that you post your agenda at least 72 hours in advance, and that agendas have brief descriptions of the items that will be conducted. Special meetings, you need to post your agenda at least 24 hours in advance. And for emergency meetings, you are required to contact board members and media outlets requesting notice by telephone at least 1 hour before the meeting. If telephone lines are down, then notice is waived. The next slide. So an agenda. An agenda essentially limits the business that may be discussed or transacted at the meeting, and there are very limited exceptions for what can be discussed outside of the agenda, and one such exception are urgency situations where immediate action is needed and that need arose after the posting of the agenda. That requires a two-thirds majority vote of the board to add an agenda item under such circumstances. Otherwise, members of staff can briefly respond to questions posed by the public. Board members may ask staff a question or make a brief announcement. Members may ask staff to report back to the body at a subsequent meeting or direct staff to place a matter on a future agenda. Next slide. Public comment. So a member of the public has the right to comment at both regular and special meetings on any subject matter that appears on the agenda. at a regular meeting, but not at a special meeting, the public also has the right to comment on any matter under the legislative body's jurisdiction, even if not on the agenda. A member of the public does not have to provide their name to make a comment. A member of the public has the right to criticize the policies, procedures, programs, or services of the county or the acts or admissions of the board. The public also has the right to use audio or video recorders or still motion cameras at a meeting to record the meeting unless the board finds or makes a reasonable finding that noise or illumination or obstruction of view caused by the recorders or camera would persistently disrupt the proceedings. Next slide. A violation of the Brown Act can lead to invalidation of board action, responsibility for paying a challenger's attorney fees, and loss of public confidence. In regard to civil actions, any individual or district attorney may file a civil lawsuit for injunctive relief or to void action taken in violation of the Brown Act. But before filing a court action seeking invalidation, they must send a written cure and correct demand. And that provides the legislative body with 30 days to cure and correct, thus avoiding litigation. The Brown Act doesn't specify how to cure and correct, but as a general matter, the best method is to rescind the action and start over. But if the local agency relied on the action and rescinding the action would prejudice the local agency, another method is to just reaffirm the action. In regards to criminal actions, intentional violations of the Brown Act may result in misdemeanor convictions, like any other matter within the DA's purview. That's at the DA's discretion. That is definitely uncommon, but can happen. Next slide. So, other topics that can be addressed in the future include teleconferencing. There are teleconferencing options for board members that are in effect until January 1st of 2026 that deal with when a board member needs to participate remotely for a just cause, such as childcare, contagious illness, or due to emergency circumstances having to do with a medical emergency. Those teleconferencing options are extremely detailed, so my office should be consulted if those will be used, and I will save that for another day. However, I will note that while the Brown Act allows legislative bodies to use teleconferencing services like Zoom to receive public comment, the decision to use that teleconferencing is entirely discretionary with the board, and no person has a right under the Brown Act have a meeting held by Zoom or other teleconference. And that concludes my presentation. Are there any questions? Mm-hmm. Then we will move on to the next part of the presentation, social media and public engagement.
Thank you, Council.
Allie Kutzer, County Public Information Officer. Mine's going to be a lot more surface level, high level. Allie's got all the details there for you. Next slide, please. So basically today we're going to be kind of going over social media, how to interact, some best practices, and then I'll provide you some takeaways at the end. So next slide. So we know in our area that social media is one of the few channels for communication. It's not necessarily the best or the only, but it is the reality of where we're at. We don't have access to quite as much other outlets as we would like. And so we use social media to get all of our information out to our community, among other things like our website. And we want to make sure that we're thinking about social media if you're going to be choosing to use it as a tool. It's not the end-all be-all, it's not the holy grail, it's a tool in the tool belt. And we want to think about using that tool in a strategic way. And as we know, posts and things we share can move pretty rapidly. And so we don't have the luxury of making mistakes and reeling things back and saying, oops, sorry, we were wrong on that. And so we have to think really hard about what we're putting out into the universe via social media and the internet. And social media, although is a great tool, like we're saying, there's a lot of opportunities that come with it, a lot of interaction opportunities. There's a lot of responsibility that comes with that as well. And we need to always remember when we're interacting on social media that people's perception can be developed both from person and our interactions in these meetings, but it's also shaped how we act online. And so we want to keep that always in the back of our mind as we're ready to share things, is how is the public going to perceive this? And we'll go into a little bit more detail on some other things, but that's kind of my golden ticket, is how are we going to be perceived when we put this out? Does this shed us in a professional light to our communities? Next slide, please. So I giggle at this, because there's kind of these general standards that are kind of best practices, and then I have my own kind of standards that I hold myself to, and I hope you'll hold yourself to as well. When you're choosing to interact on social media, we want to make sure that we're always clear and concise, we're sticking with facts. And some of these things should go without saying, but I think it's important to bring it just to remind everybody that we need to understand our role, right? So when we're interacting and posting on social media, we need to differentiate our personal opinions from our professional opinions. And when you're using official accounts, making sure that it's always engaging in a professional and positive way, articulating the activities of the county or your various groups that you're members of in a professional and positive way. We want to avoid engaging in debates on personal pages and avoid heated debates in general, really. I know you're going to hear professional often, but that's really the end-all be-all, is that we want to present ourselves in a factual, professional way. And so if you find yourself in heated debates, either, one, don't get yourself in that position in the first place by not engaging. But if we do get to a place that, help redirect the discussions when necessary. Give tangible direction, links, and connections to various departments if they have questions about certain topics. And try to redirect away from opinion and keeping it factual. And one way to do that is to monitor and not to overreact. So we can address misinformation and, of course, want to provide fact and information, but we don't want to amplify it. So knowing when to step back if we find ourselves in a position of kind of dealing with some keyboard warriors, as I like to say. So those are kind of some general standards. And on the flip side, my personal standards that I go through every single time I post, and I hope you can kind of apply these to when you're interacting on the internet, is always erring on the side of caution. It's my job as the public information officer to always think of these kind of worst case scenarios. How will this affect this group? May this look poorly against the county? Those are what's running through my head always. And so when I'm ready to get out onto the internet, I run through this series of questions. So does this portray the county in a positive light? Is it fact? Is it informational? Is it professional? Again, will this affect in our relationships or partnerships that in a positive or negative way that we're trying to develop? Will this help inform the community in a positive way? And if I can't answer yes to the majority of those questions, I'm either A, not posting it, or B, reevaluating and kind of thinking about how I can share it differently. So Natalie touched on this and did a great job. So the Brown Act, social media, she stated, does fall under that. Much like the teleconferencing and whatnot, has kind of been a new age addition to this, to the Brown Act. And so it's ever changing. And so, again, erring on the side of caution, that there is a lot of room for error. There's a lot of nuances that can get complicated, and so it's always better to stay safe, better to be safe than sorry, and just take a step back, think about it for a second, have questions, reach out to counsel, reach out to myself, and we can just double check. It's never going to hurt us to double check something. And it's fair to remind you, I wouldn't do my job if I didn't remind you that, and for lack of better words, what you say or write can and will be used against you. Not only in the public setting, but also on social media and on the internet. There's new transparency laws where basically anything that's written, even if deleted or removed, can be pulled for public record. And so that's why I kind of added the "and written" can be used against you. And so sadly, you know, that makes us double think and evaluate what we're writing a little bit better. But on the flip side, it goes with that responsibility of what we have, the responsibility we have online. Next slide, please. So working with the media. So if you guys take nothing else away from this meeting or this presentation, please take this. When you're interacting with the media, come and check with me first. And it's for no other reason, even if we know the person we are going to be talking to or if we worked with the journalist before, we just don't want surprises. We don't want the Friday headline on the New York Times to say, County Siskiyou Supervisor, blah, da, 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 and none of us had known it was coming down the pipeline. And there's a lot of things we can do behind the scenes to prepare with when working with media. So we can always ask for questions before. We are allowed to ask what the goal and the angle of the interview is going to be. And at the end of the day, we're not legally obligated to participate with the media, period. Much like social media, it's a tool, though. We want to be able to have a relationship with media in a positive way, but we can think about it just strategically. We don't want to be working with the media and getting interviews and doing it willy-nilly. And so, again, just come back, check with me, forward me the email if they reach out to you. We can work through whether it's going to align with our efforts for the county. And if you want more of a personalized training on that, there's a lot of nuances of do's and don'ts when working with the media, on screen, off screen, and things like that. We can do some trainings if you are interested, and we can touch on that offline. Next slide, please. So again, Natalie touched on a lot of this stuff with the public meetings, and I would like to think that some of this goes without saying, but that's my job, is here to remind you on these silly things. So we always want to follow the Brown Act rules, so we want to ensure transparency, just to avoid any error on our end. We want to be respectful and professional, so we want to maintain decorum, even in heated discussions. We know that a lot of these meetings that you participate in can get heavy, and we want to make sure that we're, again, not amplifying the tensions, but helping diffuse and direct with factual support. So we want to stick to the agenda. That's going to help us avoid discussing non-agenda topics in official settings. And we want to have some active listening. So we want to let the public voice their concerns before responding. We want to avoid some personal attacks. We want to stay focused on the topic and not the personalities. I know it's difficult, but it doesn't help represent the county or yourselves or our communities in a way that's positive. And we want to clarify misinformation. So we do want to correct misinformation, but again, it's not an attacking manner. It's a way that we want to help educate. It's always an educational opportunity for our communities. Maybe they just didn't know we had that program that may exist. Or maybe they didn't know that they could go speak to some of the departments. And so helping mitigate that misinformation is going to be key in public settings. And so we want to engage and not debate. We want to acknowledge concerns without arguing. And at the end of the day, it's always golden rule, be respectful. It's a lot more productive when we can do that. And so basically, like I said, it's very high level, and if we want to go into more depth, we can. But at the end of the day, just reminding yourself, whether you're online or in public, that you are representing not only yourselves as elected officials, but you're always representing the county, our departments, our staff, and also your communities. And so just always having that lens on when you're interacting with the public, I think, is going to set you up for success. And so if you have any questions, I have my number because I'm always available. Next slide, sorry. Oh, excuse me, I didn't reach takeaways. Sorry. So, social media is a very valuable communication tool, but let's use it wisely. And let's think about what before we post. So every interaction we have online or in person shapes the public's trust of us. When in doubt, consult counsel or myself. And if you're having issues or feel like, you know, internet, social media isn't your way, let's figure out more effective ways to engage and inform your communities offline. So, thank you. Yes, there we go.
Any questions? Perfect. Thank you. Okay, that concludes our workshop, and now we will roll into our regular
meeting. Give me a minute to...
Just a minute.